Good morning and welcome to Megacable's fourth quarter 2019 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions, and at that time, instructions will be given if you'd like to ask a question. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Kanya Vargas of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Megacable's fourth quarter 2019 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce Megacable's management and today's presenters. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentlemen will be discussing the quarterly results before moving on to the question and answer session. It is important to mention that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, the company's performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions and could materially change throughout the year. Please review the complete disclaimer presented in the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. You may contact us at 212-406-3696 if you did not receive the quarterly report or if you require any assistance. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Good morning to all, and thank you for joining us as we review the results for the fourth quarter of 2019. I would like to start by saying that this past quarter and full year period once again demonstrated the resiliency of the business and its ability to continue adapting to challenges in the market, to grow both operationally and financially. This was a period characterized by a national economic slowdown that continues affecting general consumption levels. Negative GDP growth for 2019 also diminished the growth capacity of the markets in which we participate. Despite the many challenges, the company continued to grow by fine-tuning our strategy along the way. As such, the number of subscribers grew across the three massive market segments during the quarter, while quality-added service and bundled packages allowed us to continue increasing ARPU per unique subscriber. Let us start with XView, where we were able to achieve the second best quarter of the year in terms of net additions. The number of content views also continued to rise, as well as the revenue contribution of the platform. And even though the product is already a consumer favorite, the next generation promises to be a further step in terms of product differentiation versus other options in the market. As part of our increasing commitment to offer subscribers top-notch infrastructure, the construction phase of the submarine cable is almost complete. At this point, the last details are being put in place so that we may start using this infrastructure. We expect this project will greatly benefit the Baja California territory, connecting it to reliable and high-speed services. With regards to the MVNO, the official product launch took place during the month of November. We have received very positive market feedback. This service, which includes disruptive tariffs, aims to position our offering as the most complete available. We are confident that as the project grows, the contribution of MVNO to the results will be a very profitable business with no capex. Also, we would like to announce a project to the construction of new FTTH networks with GPON technology that will be deployed throughout the many cities of Megacable presence. In an estimated period of under 2 years, this project includes the migration of subscribers who currently receive their service to HFC technology to the new network, and the subsequent reutilization of the equipment of the HFC networks in other regions to continue supporting Megacable's growth. This will be our most aggressive investment plan so far, and one that we expect will lead to the evolution of our network towards the newest infrastructure technology. This short-term investment will represent savings when compared to the continuous updating of our existing network in the long term. By doing this, we will accelerate bandwidth capacity growth across all of our regions, thus strengthening our competitive position. We're fortifying our businesses for the long term, and the returns are there to justify their disinvestment. Thank you for your attention, and I will turn the voice to Raimundo, so he will be deeply he will dig deeply into all these things. Please go ahead, Raimundo.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Let us review the operating results for the quarter. As Enrique mentioned, we have been faced with a challenging economy. Thus, our intent is to focus on actions that preserve revenue and profitability levels. Therefore, during the quarter, we took action in order to seek quality additions with bundles tailored to subscriber needs, together with a less aggressive reconnection strategy. This is reflected in lower gross additions during the quarter, but it allows us to maintain revenue growth with a more stable subscriber base. Moving on to results, at the end of the period, we recorded a 3.6 million unique subscribers, while RGUs rose to more than 8.4 million, a 6% increase when compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. This was mainly due to subscriber increases across all three segments of the massive market. Video subscribers increased by 1%, while broadband grew 5% and telephony 18% when compared to the same quarter of 2018, resulting in 2.33 RGUs per unit subscriber. The video segment rose to more than 3.2 million subs at the end of the quarter, recording net adds of 23,000 when compared to the same quarter of 2018. On a sequential basis, we continue to record subscriber growth despite the previously mentioned economic challenges. XView posted one of its best quarters of the year, achieving 110,000 net additions to reach more than 827,000 subscribers. We want all our subscribers to try the platform. We are convinced that the high-quality content available and all the features it offers will continue to determine the success of this product. On the other hand, during the quarter, we achieved 102,000 new subscriptions to our HD service to reach more than 1 million. Additional services continue to be an important differentiator of our service and an additional source of revenue. In terms of broadband, the company rose to nearly 3.1 million subs at the end of the quarter, 155,000 net adds when compared to the same quarter of 2018. On a sequential basis, we reached 31,000 net adds when compared to third quarter 2018. Innovation and efficiency in the implementation of technology has been our approach. This has allowed us to, as of this period, begin offering bundles to the residential market with 350, 500 megs, and 1 gigabit of broadband speed. This is part of our commitment to offer quality services with higher capacity, given the growing demand for more bandwidth. The telephony segment reached more than 2.1 million subs during the quarter, recording 318,000 net adds on a yearly basis and 57,000 net adds versus the previous quarter. Therefore, Mega Cable's product mix has already reached 52% of our subscriber base with triple play packages, compared to 44% a year ago. This is a result of a bundle strategy aimed at triple play package sales. Double and single play packages now represent a lower share of the total subscriber base at 29 and 19% respectively, compared to 33 and 23% at the end of 2018. Regarding churn, during the quarter, we recorded higher rates than fourth quarter 2018 in the three services of the massive market, mainly due to the retention strategies implemented in the last quarter of 2018 after the contingency period that we suffered. On a sequential basis, churn rates were lower than third quarter 2018 as a result of a seasonality effect with better collection. ARPU again per unit subscriber rose to 410.3 pesos, a 6% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2018. This growth is mainly due to higher RGUs per unit subscriber, rate adjustment on existing clients, and the contribution coming from add-on services. Regarding ARPU per services, video and broadband grew by 6% and 8% respectively when compared to the same quarter of last year, while telephony decreased 3% due to the income allocation policies we reviewed starting 2018. In the corporate telecom segment, ho1a reached a significant 109% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2018. The company continues to augment efforts into its market positioning and development through implementing and managing cybersecurity solutions like secure internet. Metro Carrier grew by 3% during the period due to contracts in which both ho1a and Metro Carrier participate, which require that revenue be recognized through ho1a. Additionally, during the period, provisions had to be canceled on the basis of IFRS 15. However, the managed security solutions continue to be successful in the market, while the off-net series continue to gain traction. The synergies between these two companies continue to be the main driver of growth in these segments and will be greatly complemented by the infrastructure segments. Finally, just to complement on the investment project mentioned by Enrique, the rationale is to go ahead on competition, a state-of-the-art technology, less capex in the mid and long term, update our CPE's platform, speed up digitalization, and long-term subscriber stability. Also, the corporate market will also be benefited by the synergies of this technology. It enhances shareholder value with no doubt. Now, Luis Cesar will take you through the financial highlights. Luis?
Thank you, Raimundo, and good morning, everyone. I will now give you more details regarding the financial results before taking your questions. Consolidated revenues for the quarter rose to 5.6 billion pesos, an 11% increase when compared to the same quarter of the previous year. This was mainly due to revenue increases across the three services in the massive segment, coupled with an outstanding quarter by ho1a and the corporate market. On an annual basis, 2019 revenues increased 11% when compared to 2018 to reach 21.6 billion, above the guidance we set for the year. Moving to the massive segment, during the quarter, revenue grew by 8% when compared to the same quarter of 2018, with video increasing 8%, broadband 9%, telephony by 6%, given a larger number of subscribers and a higher ARPU. For the full year, video revenues increased 10%, while broadband grew by 9% and telephony decreased 2%, given the change in the revenue allocation carried out during 2019. Regarding corporate telecom segment, revenues increased by an outstanding 29% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, with a significant 109% increase in ho1a during this quarter. Metro Carrier grew by 3%, MCM increased 4%. As Raimundo mentioned, in Metro Carrier we have some adjustments, but it is not going to follow in the future, so we will see Metro Carrier on regular levels going forward. On annual basis, the corporate telecom segment recorded a 25% increase when compared to 2018, mainly as a result of an excellent year for ho1a, which grew 65%, followed by Metro Carrier with 19% increase, while MCM grew 9%. In terms of the revenue breakdown, the massive market now accounts for 79% of total revenue, while corporate represented 21%, compared with 82% and 18% respectively a year ago. In fourth quarter 19, cost of services increased by 20% compared to fourth quarter 18, given the record sale figures from ho1a that includes a sale mix with a higher equipment sale component. Cost for cable operations increased 9%, slightly above the revenue growth, and mainly due to advertising and promotions to support the launch of new products during this period. Operating expenses increased by only 2% below revenue growth due to operational efficiencies and a favorable comparison due to the extraordinary expenses in fourth quarter 18. On a yearly basis, cost of services increased by 17%, while SG&A grew only 8%. Again, below revenue growth for the year. All the above resulted in a $2.5 billion consolidated EBITDA, representing an 11% increase when compared to the fourth quarter of 2018, and a consolidated margin of 45%. On the other hand, EBITDA for cable operations accounted for $2.3 billion, increasing 8% when compared to the same period of 2018 for a 48% margin. On an annual basis, consolidated EBITDA grew by 9% to 10.2 billion pesos, with a 47% margin, while EBITDA for cable operations during the same period rose to 9.5 billion pesos, recording a 6% increase when compared to 2018 and a 49% margin. The new IFRS 16 generated a positive effect of approximately 69 million pesos in lease expense reductions for this period. Excluding this effect, consolidated EBITDA for the quarter would have risen to 2.5 billion pesos with a 43.5% margin. Net profit for the quarter reached almost 888 million pesos, representing a decrease when compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. This was mainly due to a higher depreciation component as a result of investments made in the previous years, a higher interest expense, and the IFRS 16 impact. On a yearly basis, net profit reached 4.3 billion, a 5% decrease when compared to 2018. At the end of 2019, the company net debt reached 4.9 million pesos, an increase when compared to the end of 2018 due to the additional debt signed during the year. On a sequential basis, an increase was recorded as a result of less amount of cash available given the investment made during the period. At the end of the quarter, the net debt to EBITDA ratio rose to 0.47 times, while interest coverage ratio reached 15 times, still very healthy levels. Finally, and in terms of CapEx, during the fourth quarter, the company invested almost 2 billion pesos, which totaled more than 6.5 billion during the year, representing 30.2% of 2019 revenues, in line with the established guidance. We continue investing in the construction of new kilometers to improve the network capacity and acquisition of subscriber equipment, as well as a special project carried out during the period. To close, I want to mention that the fiber investment, once it's in place, will generate cost saving in terms of network operation and maintenance. Due to the characteristics of this technology, it implies an investment that in the short term will be reflected in CapEx to revenue ratio, but that in the medium and long term will take us to lower levels than those previously estimated. This investment does not affect shareholder value, rather it enhances it. Thank you for your attention. At this moment, we will now move to the Q&A session. Operator, please go ahead.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You can remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, it's star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll take our first question from Miguel Davila with Itaú. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, Raimundo, Enrique, Luis. So for my first question, a couple of minutes ago, Televisa, during their conference call, they mentioned that they were going to have a lot of focus on Guadalajara specifically. So have you seen any increase on the competitive pressure from Televisa on your key regions? For my second question, also, I wanted to ask that during the three-quarter 19 conference call, you mentioned that if GDP growth was above 1%, this could help you reduce the pressure on being less aggressive to retain your subscriber base. So, in general, what is your outlook for economic growth? And, yeah, that would be my questions.
Sure, Miguel. Well, we, as you know, we have Televisa competition in several markets. And we compete in the majority of the markets with Televisa in terms of the corporate segment. If they are very focused on Guadalajara and other parts, we are also focused in the off-net cities. that we're growing to in terms of Mexico City, Monterrey, and we continue to focus in terms of growing ourselves where it makes sense, where it makes sense for the return of what we're doing. So far, corporate market has been growing at 20% year over year, between Ola, MetroCard, and a little bit below MCM. So we're doing very fine. And we're more worried about what we're doing on that part. We're used to competition. So if they announce that they are focusing more in Guadalajara, well, they've always been in Guadalajara through Bestel for a long time. So welcome. It's the same that we might be doing in other parts on that part. And also, well, Sky is also competition in all the segments. So let us see what they are trying to do and come into this market. We have a very good network service and penetration. And with this investment that we announced, we are reinforcing that. That related to the first point that you mentioned. The other one is we have a really economic slowdown in 2019. That makes everybody suffer during the period. We believe our results are very good considering the economic situation. We managed not to lose subscribers in the three segments. Actually, we earn subscribers on video on that part. And we continue to grow on a slow growth, but a steady growth in broadband and telephony. For the 2020, as well as everybody, we expect a little recovery in the economy, but it's not going to be a great year either, but it's going to be slightly better than what we have in 2018. Some of the government contracts that were not awarded at the beginning of 2019, they were beginning to feel movement at the end of last year during this quarter, and that's why we also have a good end of the year with Ola for that seasonality effect too. So we expect 2020 to bring Mega Cable a good growth in the corporate segment, because we have a really, really, really good network product, and we know that synergies between Ola and MetroCarrier, and again, a continued growth in the massive market, but steady. I don't know if that answered, Miguel, all the two questions.
Yes, thank you. That was very clear.
Thank you, Miguel.
We'll take our next question from Alejandro Calostra with BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yamuni, Raimundo, Luis. I would like to know your thoughts about the pay TV industry. I mean, the penetration in the country is still very reasonable, but the pace of net additions in the country is clearly slowing down among the largest players. So I'd like to know what you expect for this business going forward, and I don't know if you think that bundling the service with OTTs is the solution. And my second question is regarding CapEx and the comments that you made at the beginning of the call regarding the prospects of building FTTH network in some cities to expand your coverage over the next 2 years. I was wondering if this would change your initial CapEx expectations for the next 2 years, or if you already had this spending in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Alejandro. Let me go ahead, and if Ken Luis wants to jump into the answer, they will do it in a second. Regarding the pay TV industry, there are a lot of issues to consider there. In terms of product, we're launching during this year our second step of the XView project, or NGV, we call it Next Generation Video. We're very excited about that because it brings all the functionality of the Android TV platform that will really enhance and make a complete different experience for the subscribers, integrating all the OTT apps that you are mentioning there, and allowing our subscribers to do the search like if it was seamless from a mobile to a TV. They can have access to YouTube, to Google in that part, all the Google Play stores that they have. They have a huge amount of apps already integrated there. Disney Plus will come to the country later on, even though they announced in some parts the B2C. They also continue going straight to consumer. They also maintain going through the operators. So the integration of all the apps that we have, plus all the content that we have in the past, with a new user interface that enhances the voice remote, the Google Assistant, all the projects with Android, we're very excited about. Product will bring a new refresh to video, as well as XView did in the last 12 to 18 months, where we reached 850,000 subscribers pretty much. So we're very excited. Regarding competition, once you integrate those apps into our offer, we don't see any reason why not to have economies of scale and not to have the quality of service provided by one single operator or integrator like we consider ourselves in that part. Our problem still will be economy. Economy is the major contributor for the slowdown. We can talk to people regardless of rates, but we need to grow the market still. And as you know, 2019 was not the best year for video because the economy was stagnated at that time. We expect a little bit growth, and with the launch of the new XView platform, to get much better in that part. Still, the driver for massive market will continue to be a broadband. Also, the second question you have, with all these new upgrades and continue, this is not a single upgrade that we do. It's a smarter way to do the upgrade of the network. We are bringing new technologies that are OTT technologies and new CPEs, so we will upgrade the majority of the subscriber CP base and will allow us to do digitalization in the cities where we are not. It will reuse what we have. So we have great advantages. And for video, the majority of our subscribers now will have access to a bidirectional or two-way platform and an Android platform like I might describe. If you know, some of our subscribers need to be upgraded to the platform that we're launching, and they pay for that. Now they will have access automatically to this new platform. So for video and for the new platform that we have, for the new development of the network, it's only great, great news for everybody on that part. Related to the CapEx that this will bring, Luis can complement what I'm saying.
I would like to do some comments about the paid television business. Yes, the penetration of paid television in Mexico is still low. The problem, as Raimundo mentioned, is basically economic. It's not quality, or it's not desire of people to obtain or get the service. What is the future for that? In our opinion in Megacable, years ago, maybe 10 years ago, the money invested in content world, in the world, was maybe $10 billion, $20 billion, I don't know, there's no figure. We didn't pay that much attention in the past about the investment done in production or content production. Today, if you publish companies are public, they release their numbers in production. If you add all the money invested in production alone in the U.S. In the U.S. companies like Netflix, Amazon, Google, HBO, the networks NBC, CBS, Univision, Televisa in Mexico, we're talking about $50 billion or more of dollars a year. So the hours of content that are available there out there that come out every year is huge. So people is not watching less television or watching or consuming less content. They are consuming a lot more. And we are the company. We have broadband. We have a platform, and we will have a better platform in the future to consume that content. I don't see why our penetration in paid television will not rise. And I don't see why broadband consumption will not rise. So the future is very good. Satellite companies don't have the ability to be able to present consumption or present content the way the consumer wants.
Mm-hmm.
We allow them to record, we allow them to start over, we allow them to go back in programming, you know, in time. We allow them to search in any platform they want to search. So we think that the future for pay TV in our company, in our platform, with our technologies is very bright. And with the broadband, with the capacities of broadband that we have currently, and we're offering to the homes and to the companies, and what we will do in the future with all the investments in technology, wise investments we're doing, I don't see why this company will not run and be the most desired service in the cities we operate.
Luis, do you want to say something about the
CapEx?
The CapEx.
Sure. So with this investment, this FTTH network that we have been mentioned, basically we will equal the dollar amount that we were targeting or forecasting to spend in the following 5 years. So the CapEx for 5 years remains the same. The advantages we have is that we will be able to recover a lot of equipment currently installed in the regions we're installing FTTH. And that equipment will allow us to speed up the capacity and the regions that we are covering, transferring that FTTH equipment to those regions. And on top of that, continue with having the newest technology available for our subscribers. So yes, the CapEx for the following 2 years is going to be higher than maybe the forecasted numbers, but for the total 5 years will be the same, reducing basically in year three and going even further down for years four and five.
And it will be reduced in the long term?
Of course.
Okay. Pretty much in the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, you have it equal, but we're investing for a platform that will be used in the years to come. If you are aware about what we're doing with GPON on that part, we can easily operate into the future. And also the reuse of the equipment and the network that we have right now will allow us to get the fiber deeper to prepare to fiber to the home in the other less, not important, but smaller cities than the higher cities that we're doing. So it's a very smart way to do it. Plus also, it does include what Luis is saying, the operate of all the CPE platform for the new speeds, Wi-Fi, and everything that you need in the home. So it is on a short term, one time, bringing investment. So also we need to say that we got really, really good conditions that we cannot disclose why we did this as a whole project, not only in terms of the cost of the technology, also in terms of the technology itself, and in terms of the payment terms that we have. So we're very, very happy that this is the best way to go ahead of competition and to put Mega Cable ready, as Enrique said, to run for the future.
Okay, great. So basically, that means that the CapEx will be higher in absolute terms over the next 2 years, or also as a percentage of sales. And I don't know if you could also give us some guidance for 2020. Thank you.
Yeah, for the following 2 years will be basically the impact. On the third year, we will see a reduction to lower levels than we have today. So it's only 2 years. But I don't know if you want me to provide a guidance on capital.
Yeah, let's do the guidance because it also, they need to understand that it's not a significant increase in the CapEx also. It does increase the CapEx in the first year and the second year on that part, but it brings also a huge amount of savings in CapEx for the other cities as we continue to reduce. But go ahead, please.
Sure. As you recall, the CapEx for this year was almost $340 million. We expect for 2020, a CapEx around the $400 million.
That's it.
Dollars.
I don't know if you want to go ahead with
the rest of the guidance?
Yeah, let's say about the guidance because they.
Yeah, from revenues, we expect the growth between 8% and 9%. In EBITDA numbers, we are expecting 7%-8% growth. Subscribers, on video, we expect 2%-3% growth. Internet, 6%-8%. And telephony, between 8% and 10%.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Alejandro. And the rest, of course.
We'll take our next question from Leonardo Olmos with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I have two questions on unrelated subjects. The first one is related to Axtel. They have been even more vocal on talking about sharing infrastructure or monetizing the infrastructure they have. I would like to know if you have any type of view on that matter, if you think there is any type of partnership or acquisition that you see as available on their national infrastructure they want to share. And the second question, like I said, is unrelated. As related to taxes, we have seen some movements from the government to increase tax paid by companies. We saw the AMX case early this week. We believe you paid a little bit, a low rate of pre-tax profit. So just for us to have an idea, do you have any type of conversation with the government that could change your tax rate or do any type of agreement or change on your regime or something like that? So those two questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leonardo.
Thank you. This is Enrique. On Axtel's side, we don't know yet if we are going to participate in that. They stated that they will do a separation of their business. One will be infrastructure, and the other one is going to be a service company. And they are doing that, obviously, to try to capture value. They think that infrastructure is going to be more, you know, higher value separated with from services than the way they have it by now altogether. We don't know yet if we will do anything with we'll try to go into the process of buying that. I will guess that is more likely that we will not, but we don't know yet. We are analyzing the information they are going to be sending, and we will make a decision in the next 30 days, 45 days about that. We our infrastructure is very good. At the same level of Axtel's infrastructure, but with a lot more capillarity. We have a lot more reach. We reach a lot more businesses and a lot more, you know, obviously they don't reach any homes. And we will have to take a look at that, but we don't know yet. And the other question
is on the
tax rate.
So we have not had any type of approach with the government. We don't have any conversation on that. But as we have stated previously, the tax rate will go up, and that's something that we have seen going up on the previous years. And this is a result more on changes in the law that have been reducing the space we had in the past as accelerated depreciation and stuff like that, that really got reduced. And that's those, the application of the law is really what's increasing the tax rate. And that's not going to be different in 2020. So we expect a higher tax rate for the end of the year for 2020 compared to previous years.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you, gentlemen. Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren.
We'll take our next question from Marcelo Santos with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first question is if you could comment a bit on the competition and the broadband with America Mobile. We seem them investing a little bit more on fiber and improving the results. So how are you seeing this competition? And the second question would be in terms of entry into new cities in a massive market, is it something that could make sense to you in the near future or not? Thank you.
Sure, Marcelo. Regarding the competition with Amex, we continue to state that we have a very good network prepared to compete to American Mobile and in some markets in a small portion still with Total Play, which are the two that we have, or Televisa in some cities that we already have. What we've seen is that they will continue to increase some of that investment. We are moving way ahead of competition by doing as we announced, the full upgrade of our network to fiber in the majority of the cities with no significant increase in the CapEx like we stated before. We also announced that we have the new generation of video services to the XView Plus with the Android TV platform and all the apps integrated. So we are ready to compete and go ahead of not only Amex, but the entry of any players over here. Welcome on that part. Competition makes us be stronger and more efficient to everybody. And that's why we're investing smarter with the latest technology that we can have and with savings in CapEx in the long term, mid and long term, that make us think that we're taking the right decision for everybody. Relating the entry to new cities, as we said, we are opening new cities for the corporate market to start with. We will see the P&L of every project that we do, whether it makes sense or not. Right now, we're very focused in operating the networks, in bringing the new, increasing the ARPUs, both unique and per subscriber through the launch of the new video services, and to continue to bring the great results that we have in the corporate segment with all our network carriers growing nationwide. That's why we're opening four new cities this year to continue to provide growth for the company and meet the guidance that we just told you in the past.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcelo.
Our next question is from Andres Coelho with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Obviously, very, very strong growth in the corporate segment. I was wondering if you are seeing changes or perhaps an acceleration in government IT spending, and also if you notice a different approach towards auctions, perhaps if auctions are now more open, more transparent, with more chances for smaller players versus the bigger ones. Just wondering if government may be playing a role in the strong growth that you reported for corporate. Also, in a related question, I was wondering, Enrique, if you think that in the very long run, you could also be exploring strategic options for the B2B business. We're seeing companies around the world exploring strategic options for B2B, spinning off, selling, functional separation in the case of Axtel. If you believe that your B2B division could eventually play or if you could look for strategic options for B2B, including potentially separating this unit completely and potentially spinning it off or selling it. Thank you.
Hey, I will take the last question.
You want to go ahead?
Yes. We've seen there is a tendency of separating services with from infrastructure, you know, breaking the companies in those two main big divisions. There are some good results about it. You know, there are not a lot of companies that have been doing that. We are currently focused in growing the business and you know, trying to be the best company, the best telecom company in our markets. We don't discard that maybe in the future it would be a good idea. We will just wait and see what happens with those that make, you know, that take that road. But currently we are not considering that. We are, you know, it would take a lot of time, a lot of effort from the company to do that. And our efforts are mainly going other, you know, to other tasks currently. But we don't discard it, Andres. Currently we think that we have a lot of value to capture the way we're functioning. And we think that, you know, we're investing, especially these 2 years, a lot of money in infrastructure, especially fiber. And we will be better prepared in the future to take that decision.
Complementing what Enrique says regarding, Andres, the B2B business that we have, we've been developing several areas of OLA that can complement the connectivity that we have with NetworkCarrier. As you saw the results, we were very, very successful in terms of security, secure internet, broadband, a new infrastructure for the corporate and businesses to come. That will complement NetworkCarrier. And the investment that we are doing, it is infrastructure. What we are doing is increasing the amount of fibers getting to the home and getting to the premises in the rest of the cities. So the percentage of fiber compared to the rest of the network. Not only for us, but also as an infrastructure company, we will be the better prepared for the future if we decide, like other companies, to split units, like Enrique says, in corporate services, massive services, or infrastructure. Ours is really, really well prepared with a great capillarity. And as I said, we're providing not only fiber for the massive, but also it does include NetworkCarrier. So the savings in the future will be great for us, and the speed to market and the way we can approach it for corporates will be really, really good into the future. That okay. One is related to the second question on the B2B.
Okay.
On the corporate segment, as we yes, Andres.
No, excuse me. I thought you finished the answer. Excuse me.
No. On the first question, we jump into the second. The first one, it was related to the corporate segment and what we saw related to government contracts. As I said before, and I think Luis mentioned that also in his speech, is that we have a very tough first, second, and pretty close third quarter of the year, and we saw finally, some of the government projects that were not released or concluded in the first half or three quarters of the year, finally we got some of that oxygen in the fourth quarter for OLA. That includes connectivity. Part of what NetworkCarrier had in this quarter was that OLA is the one that won the connectivity and contract and infrastructure services. To that part, so we have OLA with a great fourth quarter and NetworkCarrier a little bit less than that or less growth because of what we're saying plus other provisions that we have to cancel. But yes, we feel that government is going to spend on those projects and we hope that 2020 will continue to have because that's the way to speed up the economy again from when they can. So we expect 2020 to be slightly better than 2019. and continue to provide all our network carriers those growth, not only from government, because we do not depend that much on government, but it also give us great growth when we feel that the government is already spending in telecommunication and upgrading infrastructure. It's good for business, for everybody here. I don't know if that's okay.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. And I have one final question, if I may. About a year ago, Mercable, gave out 500,000 wireless SIM cards. It was an interesting experiment. I believe your strategy has changed since then in the mobile business. I was wondering, first, how many of those 500,000 subscribers are still subscribers today? What lessons did you learn from that experience, and how your new offer compares to that one? Thank you.
Well, what we learned is that we need to approach the market not only with the SIM card, but also with a telephone offer, cellular offer on that part. We need to address with a much more better service, and not only the SIM, but also the service offer that we have. We launched formally the MVNO at the end of last year, pretty much at the very far end of last year, December. We now have 2 months going into the product, and we just launched a new offer tied with Altan and Red Compartida, which we believe is going to be a killer app for the mobile. In that part, it will allow us to capture some of the prepaid market that can afford to pay a postpaid, and some of the low postpaid that there is there by launching a very disruptive offers like unlimited data packages in that part. Of course, we have a lower entry that goes, but we learn from that we need to focus on training, product, good offer, and not only on the SIM to everybody that get it there. We are moving, and every day we learn, and every day we continue to grow. Still, the MVNO is not where we're focused on that part. Even so, we believe 2020 will be the year that we will learn and grow and stabilize what we're doing, so we can bring much more subscribers for 2021, 2022.
Okay, very clear. Thank you, Raimundo.
I'd like to remind everyone it's star and one for questions. And we'll go next to Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. In terms of the video ARPU, you had a very good performance in the year. Aside from obviously XView, is there anything else that you guys can give us more color on what's happening there that you are managing to increase the ARPU? Thank you.
Well, we have the XView. Tied to HD. We have it with the upgrade of the CPEs that we have on that part with additional set-top boxes. And of course, we have an adjustment in rates. So without going too far, that will be the reason, Carlos.
Okay, that's great. Should we expect, I know more or less it's implied from the guidance, but you guys target a above inflation increase in the blended ARPU, no, in the unique subscriber ARPU for the year?
Slightly above, yeah.
Okay, that's perfect, thank you. And if I may, on the fiber side, out of your total homes passed, do you have a target number of how many households you want to cover with fiber to the home?
Yes, but at this point, Carlos, we would like to keep the number and of course the cities and the strategy that we're doing. Of course, we're going for the larger markets on that part, but we would like to keep it because of just management strategy on that part.
Right, I understand. Thank you.
And it appears we have no further questions. I'll return the floor to Enrique Yamuni for closing comments.
Okay, thank you very much, and we appreciate your attention today and your attendance to this conference. As always, it is a pleasure to discuss our results with you. Please contact our investor relations department if you have any questions or concerns regarding the company. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, everyone.